Now, today my message is a little bit different. It's called Science and the Bible. Friends or foes? Friends or foes? Now, I was going to continue on with my series of messages about come to the Lord's side. We need to get on the Lord's side, my friends. We need to make sure we're coming to the Lord's side and not listening to the world coming to their side. Amen? That's what I want to preach on. That's what I'm going to continue preaching on for a little bit longer. I'll get at least one more message in there. But today I'm doing a message on science and the Bible, friends or foe, because somebody requested of me, one of our student young people, who's got an assignment for school about whether the Bible and science can be compatible, or can't they? If you're a Christian, maybe you don't believe that science is real. Or does it mean that all the scientists are right with promoting evolution and that the Bible's just nonsense? So I wrote and said, well, if I'm going to write an article on that, I'll do a message on it, okay? And I'll give them the text of the message. So my message today is about that sort of thing. I want you to turn with me first. Actually, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 10 first, put your finger in there and then turn to Romans chapter 10, because I've got a short one. Actually, you can forget about the Romans chapter 10 when I'll just read it out, because you'll know it. But turn to Hebrews chapter 10 for me, please. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll just read out Romans chapter 10, what I want you to hear. You all know what it says. All right, Romans chapter 10 says, and verse 17 says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You heard that one before? Everybody's heard that, haven't they? Even people that haven't been to church probably know that one. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that. But we're going to read Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to read from verses 38 to 39, and then we're going to skip into the next chapter and read verses 1 to 3. So we're going Hebrews 10, 38 to 39, and 11, 1 to 3. So starting in verse 38, we see, now the just shall live by faith. What did we just hear about faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith, verse 1 in chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's our text for this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to get some truth out of that about this. Is the Bible and science compatible, or aren't they? Are they friends or foes? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to look in your word, Lord, to try and discover the answer to that question. We thank you, Lord, that your word tells us very clearly that all things pertaining to life and godliness are contained within the scriptures, which you call yourself, Lord, truth, and that we may know what we should do and what we should believe according to what you've written in there for us, Lord, for our instruction and admonition. And we thank you, Lord, that we are able to have the word of God, got it in our hand, and we can read it and see exactly what it is you want to teach us in this day, Lord. Help the people to have ears that are open, Lord. We hear in your reading your word about people that have ears to listen but don't really hear, and eyes to see but they look but don't see. So we pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be like that this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would enlighten us, help us have our eyes and spiritual eyes and spiritual ears open, Lord, to allow these things we learn, Lord, to go into our heart and help us, Lord, to have faith and to believe what you tell us about things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this morning's message, which I've entitled, as I said, Science and the Bible, Friends or Foes, I want us to spend some time considering the very important but sometimes volatile subject regarding the compatibility of the teachings of the Bible as believed and presented by truly born-again believers who interpret Scripture from a literal perspective. We interpret Scripture literally, not allegorically. We read Scripture. When we see the Bible says, in the beginning God created, we take that literally, don't we? Or do we just take it as allegorical and poetry or something. No, we believe what the Bible says. Is that us? That's us. That's us. But we're going to compare what we believe, compare those beliefs with what is promoted by people who deny God's existence. And they appeal to modern science as their method of understanding everything about the origins of the universe and where everything else came from. Does the belief in an intelligently designed creation automatically mean that Christians don't believe in science? What did you say, Andy? He reckons no. Well, we'll find out what you all think at the end of the message. Does the Bible have anything to say about science even? Does it mention anything about science? Yes. Can we who are called biblical creationists, if you believe in the Bible and what it says, you're a biblical creationist, all right? Can we who are called biblical creationists scientifically prove from the Bible that what it says about the origins of the universe and life is true? That God created everything by design in 6 literal days? Ooh. Can we prove that from science? Can non-Christians or secular scientists called evolutionists prove from their teachings that what they say about the origins of the universe and life is true? Can they do it either? That everything we see has evolved by random chance over billions of years. So can we prove from the Bible the literal creation, or can the evolutionists prove from their science that it took billions of years, you see? Now, if we're going to ask these questions about science, then perhaps we should try and understand what science actually is. Amen? That'd be good, eh? What is the meaning of the word science? Most dictionaries describe science as the state of knowing. The state of knowing. Knowledge as distinguished from ignorance or misunderstanding. So that's what science is. The word originates from a Latin word which means having knowledge or to know. To have knowledge about something or to know something. And although there are other uses of the word, the root meaning of science is basically just knowledge. That is to know something. Alright? So that's what science is. Over the past 200 years, well, that's what it used to be. Over the past 200 years, however, during the so-called scientific revolution, the word science has come to mean a method of knowing something. It's a method of knowing something, a way to discover truth. In fact, many people, including many professed Bible believers, assume that modern science is the only way to discover truth. And they discount the possibility that the Bible might have any authority on the subject of knowledge or knowing truth at all. They'll deny the possibility that the Bible has any authority at all on the subject of knowable truth. They say you can't work out truth from the Bible. Today, in our modern enlightened era, there are two distinct types of science being promoted, and we need to distinguish between the two and compare how each one seeks to discover what modern scientists determine to be truth. Firstly, there is what they call operation science, which uses the so-called scientific method to attempt to discover truth by performing observable, repeatable experiments in a controlled environment to find patterns of recurring behavior in the present physical universe. That's operation science, right? Performing observable, repeatable experiments in a controlled environment to find patterns of recurring behavior in the present physical universe. For example, scientists can test gravity or study the spread of diseases. Both creationists and evolutionists use this kind of science, which has given rise to knowledge, which in turn has led to the invention of such things as computers and also the development of cures for diseases like penicillin. That was done by science and observing things, you see, doing controlled experiments and observing things. In fact, The bloke that discovered penicillin first, he was an Australian. What was his name? Can't remember his name. But anyhow, he discovered this stuff, that it killed germs, and he left it sitting on a bench for about 20 years and did nothing with it. Somebody else got hold of it and discovered what it did and used his invention to create penicillin, which, of course, been used throughout our generation anyway, to help us to fight off diseases. So that was found out by observing experiments. Secondly, there is origin science, which attempts to discover truth about how things began by examining reliable eyewitness testimony that may be available, may not be too, and from circumstantial evidence, such as pottery, fossils and natural formations of the earth, such as canyons and mountains. Because things of the past relating to origins cannot be repeated and observed directly, assumptions greatly affect how evolutionary scientists interpret what they see. They see something, they haven't got any facts for it, so they assume things. Not based on fact, they are assumptions. An assumption is, I think this might be what happened, all right? It's not, this is what happened, I can see that, I can prove it. This must be how it happened. I'm not so sure that it is the way it happened, but I think it must be the way, it's the only way it could have happened. It couldn't have happened the way God says, all right? Well, those silly Christians say God says. It has to be this way, I assume. As an example of how creationists and evolutionists differ on interpreting how everything came into existence, we can ask the question about how the Grand Canyon, just an example, how the Grand Canyon in America was formed. Was it formed gradually over long periods of time, eroded away by small amounts of water? Or was it formed in a short period of time by a great volume of water? The first interpretation is based on secular assumptions, not proof, assumptions of slow change over millions of years, while the second interpretation is based on the biblical account of rapid change during Noah's flood. See? We say, oh, that happened like that. They say, no, it's taken billions of years, millions and millions of years, at least, for that to happen. Because look, you can see only how much water's going down there and how long would it take to erode that great canyon? Has to be millions of years. They don't believe that a big amount of water went through there at one time and caused that thing to wash out. Have you ever seen sand, you know, how it gets washed out if a lot of water goes over it? Yeah. Water's got a lot of power. You get a big lot of water, that Grand Canyon's not that big to God. Looks big to us if we fell over the side of it, but it's not big to God. The nature of the debate as to whether the Bible and science can be friends or whether they must remain foes is not about Operation Science, which both creationist scientists and evolutionary scientists practice every day without conflict. But it is about origin science and conflicting assumptions or beliefs about the past and how everything originated. It's origin science we're talking about. Because the Bible's account of creation in the book of Genesis cannot be tested in a laboratory, therefore secular scientists and even an increasing number of Christians believe the Bible is not scientific, and consequently it must be classified only as religion. Religious belief. Faith. Common errors claimed by non-Christians are science proves the Bible's wrong. Science proves the Bible is wrong. Two, evolution is science, but Bible is religion. Evolution is science, but the Bible is religion. It's got nothing to do with science. That's what they say. And thirdly, evolutionists believe in science. They say that evolutionists believe in science, but creationists reject science. They say the Christians reject science, which is not true. I don't reject science, and neither should you. Secular science, there's an empty tin rolling around out there in the street. It'll be all right. Don't worry about it. Secular scientists boast that their view... You might go out and get that tin, Lachlan. That's a distraction. You know, the devil will use all sorts of things, eh? One time we had birds flying around in here. Today we've got a tin rolling around in the street. It is a tin, isn't it? It's not somebody over there playing their drum. Chinese people might have turned up early. Anyhow. Secular scientists boast that their view of the beginnings, as promoted in evolution, can be tested in a laboratory. That's what they say. We can test this thing, and therefore their view is scientific. Nevertheless, although they have tried and tried, accompanied by the expenditure of obscene amounts of money, they still have not been able to repeat in a controlled laboratory test, or in any other test for that matter, how life actually began. Or how monkeys became men and fish became birds. They haven't been able to prove that, but they just tell you as though they have. You know, evolution's fact. Your Bible is fiction. It's just a religious belief. You've got to believe it by faith. Once the two types of science are identified, that is operation science and origin science, we can then begin to recognise the potential problems with statements like evolution is science, but creation, according to the Bible, is religion. If you believe in creation as what's written in the Bible, that's religion, that's not science. The evolution of man and all living creatures from molecules has not been proven by operation science or origin science. Get that? The evolution of man and all living creatures, all other living creatures, from molecules has not been proven, either by operation science or origin science. They are belief systems about the past based upon anti-biblical, God-denying assumptions. Now, they blame us and say, oh, your belief is just faith. You've got to have faith to believe that from the Bible. Well, I tell you what, all the evolutionists have to have faith to believe what they believe from their scientists. They are not proven. They have not proven anything. The Bible, in contrast, we believe, is the eyewitness testimony of God the Creator, who tells us what happened to produce the earth, the different kinds of life, the fossils, the rock layers, and indeed the whole universe. The Bible actually gives us the genuine starting assumptions for anything to do with conducting origin science. We've got a starting assumption which comes from the Bible in origin science. The disagreement that exists between biblical creation and evolution is not really one of religion versus science. It is really a conflict between two different worldviews. The biblical creationist starting assumptions come from his biblical worldview. Our belief and our worldview is based on Scripture, whereas the evolutionist starting assumptions come from his anti-biblical, secular worldview. He's got a worldview that does not include God. So he's not going to believe what it says in the Bible. The Bible is not anti-scientific. Just get that in your head. The Bible is not anti-scientific. The Bible agrees with science, but it just doesn't agree with the type of science that is promoted today by non-Christian, so-called scientists who, in their attempt to prove the Bible wrong and that God does not even exist, make unprovable assumptions and rail against anyone who does not accept those assumptions as proven fact. If you go out with a bunch of evolutionists and try to tell them that the world's only 6,000 years old and not 6 million or 6 billion, if you're game to do it, they'll laugh you to scorn. They'll laugh you to scorn. Yeah, these secular, evolutionary, anti-God scientists have gained a foothold in the education institutions of the world. And they are promoting, as proven fact, their beliefs about how everything began, when in reality, their beliefs are nothing more than assumptions that they have arrived at through their fertile imaginations of their minds. They are assumptions. You know what assumptions mean, eh? Make sure you understand what an assumption is. I assume something. I don't know for certain. I just imagine that this is what happened, and I'll use that as my starting point, you see. Well, what if you're wrong, your starting point? If your starting point's wrong, the ending point's going to be wrong too, you see. Christians, on the other hand, have been blessed with an understanding about these things as a gift from God. A gift from God. Received on account of us having renewed minds, we have renewed minds that are a result of us believing the gospel, the message of the gospel, and being born again of the Spirit of God. It's a gift from God, my friends. In our opening scripture of Hebrews 11, 1-3, this morning we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." How do we believe that? How can we possibly believe that? Well, that's what the Bible says. So like the evolutionists, you believe that nonsense? Yes, we do. We do. Verse 3 is vitally important to understand during this creation versus evolution debate. We're debating the Bible versus science. So it's important to understand verse number 3 during this debate. It says, through faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. This is telling us that it is through faith that we have understood something. We have not understood whatever it is that we have understood because of some scientific or repeatable scientific experiment that we have been able to successfully conduct in the science laboratory, is it? That's not why we believe that God made the world, all right, by the word of his mouth. No, the Bible says that is through faith that we have come to our understanding. It is through faith. We believe what God says. Now, in Romans 10:17, which we also read as one of our opening scriptures, we were reminded of the truth, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. An unbelieving, God-rejecting, Bible-mocking, evolutionary scientist does not have faith of the type that Scripture teaches about. He doesn't have that faith. He may have a faith in his assumptions, but it is a faith based upon his own wisdom rather than God's. It's a faith that is based upon what he may believe as absolute truth today, but it can change tomorrow when some new scientific discovery is made. The secular evolution of scientific truth is in constant fluctuation, and it is subject to change. Have you ever noticed that? Have you noticed that in your lifetime, that something that was definite scientific fact 20 years ago is no longer the truth? They've changed it. Oh, they've come to some other discovery that caused them to change it. And it doesn't even seem to embarrass them when they have to come out and admit to the world that their original assumption was wrong. They don't get embarrassed about it. We just go on to the next chapter. They just move on. Imagine if they proved that the Bible was wrong. You wouldn't hear the end of it. The Bible-believing, God-honoring Christian scientist, on the other hand, does have faith. And it's a faith that only a truly born-again Christian can possibly have. Because it's a faith to believe whatever God says in his word, gained by hearing what that word has to say. Faith does not come from what I believe in my heart, a product of what I've imagined in my mind to be true. Faith does not come from the assumptions I've formed by looking at supposed evidence and then interpreting what I see by listening to what secular scientists say on the matter. No, faith comes by hearing what the Word of God says on the matter. Is that right? It comes by listening to the Word of God preached in the church on Sunday by Bible-believing pastors and teachers, and it comes by reading and studying the Bible for myself at home during the week because I love God's Word. And I believe what the Lord Jesus said about God's Word. He says in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." And because the secular evolutionist scientist does not listen to what the Word of God says, and he wouldn't read a Bible if his natural life depended on it, therefore he cannot have the faith that is necessary for a person to understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's why we can believe that. You wouldn't have believed that before you were saved. If you grew up in a Christian home, you might have believed it because you were told it, but you didn't believe it because it sunk into your mind and your understanding. You just accept it because Mum told you so, or Dad told you so. It's only through being born again and having God give us the gift through the Holy Spirit to understand these things that we believe them. Is that right? There is something else of vital importance that we need to grasp from verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11. It states that through faith we understand. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Let's read that again. Verse 3 says, you might not see this here, through faith we understand. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You might not have noticed that before. And it took me 35 years of reading my Bible for it to sink into my head. It's only recently I discovered this truth. But this verse doesn't say that through faith we believe that the worlds were framed. It doesn't say we believe that the worlds were framed. You're looking at that verse, Hebrews 11, verse 3. It doesn't say we believe that the worlds were framed. It doesn't say through faith we trust, or that we accept, or that we consider that the worlds were framed. No, it actually makes the very important statement that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We understand. Not just know something. To believe something and understand something are two entirely different things. there is a distinction between the two that in this instance makes a world of difference about how we see attempting to convince an unbeliever about the reality of God by getting him to reject something he believes about evolution and believing what the Bible says about creation. Instead of presenting the unbeliever with the gospel, which has the power to bring conviction and convince the unsaved person that they are a sinner in need of salvation, many times we will try to convince them that the thing they believe about evolution is wrong. We'll try and have a bit of an argument with them that what they believe about evolution is wrong. And we think that if we can get them to believe in creation, then they will believe in God. Have we any? I've done that plenty of times. And I know many other of you have too. We think, if we can get them to believe that evolution is wrong, then obviously they've got to believe in creation and believe in God. Well, there's a problem there. Now, I'm not saying that we should not mention the subject creation versus evolution, or even give them a good creation article if they're interested in that kind of thing, but don't major on it as some people do, and as I've done myself in the past. Because even if we do convince the person that God is real and that creation is how everything came about in the beginning, we need to remember that just believing in God, even the biblical God, doesn't bring salvation. Does it? The Bible tells us in James 2:19 that the devils believe in God, and they also believe that God brought everything into being by his sovereign act of creation. They're not saved. They're not saved. Neither is the devil. All right? Neither is the devil or his demons. They're not saved, but they believe in God. And they believe God created everything too. And a lost person, despite him having some kind of belief in God, still won't understand what God actually says about creation. He might believe it in some way, but he won't understand it properly. Because the Bible plainly tells us that it is through faith that we understand. It's through faith that we understand about creation. And that type of understanding, faith, is only available. Listen, that type of understanding is only available to the born-again Christian who has received it by hearing the Word of God. It comes after salvation. Unbelieving members of the public and Bible-rejecting secular scientists who promote their so-called scientific beliefs about evolution cannot possibly have the faith that is necessary to understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. They can't believe it. In Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5, we are reminded of this unfortunate condition. If you'd like to turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 2. I've got a few scriptures I want you to turn to. I want you to see that the secular scientist who has not been born again, does not believe in God, cannot possibly understand that the worlds were made out of nothing. They can't understand it. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, we are reminded of this unfortunate condition that plagues non-believers and which prevents them from being able to understand fully any spiritual truth that is presented in the Word of God. When I say unfortunate, I mean unfortunate for those non-believers, because we read here in the Scripture that, listen, Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Don't turn to this one, but Psalm 111 verse 10 also reminds us of the intellectual restrictions that are upon the non-believer to be able to understand spiritual truth. But it also gives the instruction to professing Christians about how we can gain spiritual knowledge and understanding and wisdom. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally, as we have been learning in our Sunday evening messages on wisdom and the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. We've been talking about that in our Sunday evening messages. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Listen, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Alright? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. In 1 Corinthians, turn to this one please, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. I want to read out here a little bit more why the secular scientists can't believe what we believe. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 to 16. It also tells us why the faithful Christian science, listen, this verse of Scripture, these verses of Scripture tell us why the faithful Christian science can understand these spiritual truths about creation, and why the God-rejecting, unbelieving evolutionary scientists can't. They can't understand it. In 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 14, we read these wonderfully enlightening truths. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. This is, if you've been born again, right? You're born again, you're saved. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Not in the words of man, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Listen, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You silly people that believe in creation, can't you see how old the earth is? Can't you see that it's billions of years old? How foolish are you? You believe the Bible. Only 6,000 years old, this earth and the universe. Have a look at it. Look how old it looks. It does look old, doesn't it? Does it look old? It sure does. God created it old. Let me ask you a question. They like to say, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, let me ask you a question. When God created Adam, did he create a little baby laying in the dirt? God didn't even know how to pick a piece of fruit off a tree and eat it? Did he create a little baby that would shrivel up and die? Or did he create a full-grown adult? What do you think? He created a full-grown adult. When he created the chicken laid the egg. And the male chicken fertilized it so that it could create a little chicken. Is God stupid? Would he do that? Create an egg and leave it there in the hot sun to burn? No, he created a full-grown chicken. He created a full-grown man. He said, I created the trees and the seeds that were in them. The tree came first and then it produced seeds. And then it reproduced trees, you see. And when God created Adam, he created him a full-grown man. And when he created the universe and everything that's in it, he created it mature, full-grown, you see. So the evolutionist looks at it and says, that's billions of years old. Well, of course it looks billions of years old. And you can do all your tests on it, radioactive testing, and you'll get an old result too, because it is old. God created it old. Don't let the evolutionists put it over you and say, how can it look so old? Remember that one. I've used it many, many times on evolutionists who come to argue with me. Do you think God would have created a baby, or did he create a full-grown man? He created everything mature. And by the way, when he said let there be light, they say, oh, the light didn't get from that star. It's 40 million light years away. That means it had to take 40 million years for the light to get here. God said, let there be light. It was everywhere. Throughout the whole universe. Didn't have to travel anywhere. Okay? So don't let them put it over you. Anyhow, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's foolishness. We can believe it because we believe God. And God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us to believe these things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We have to understand them spiritually. According to what God inspired the Apostle Paul to write down here in these few verses, the natural man, or the unregenerate, unsaved man who does not believe in God, but who trusts in man's wisdom, is at a disadvantage to understand anything about how everything came into being. He can't understand or know them because they are understood by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. He is well able to understand natural things taught by the wisdom of man, but spiritual truths that are revealed by God are foolishness to him. Amen? I remember that. And I might just point out here that there are many, in fact a multitude of people who profess to be Bible-believing Christians in our day who also cannot understand spiritual truths. Because one of the major requirements in gaining that understanding comes from walking in obedience to the commandments that we read in God's Word. We've just read in verse 10 of Psalm 110, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Not believe them, do them. We are not just to hear God's commandments. We are to do them. Remember that too. Think you can get away, oh, I believe in God. I believe his commandments. No, we've got to do them. I could quote many scriptures that reiterate this wise teaching, but let me just quote Ecclesiastes 12:13, which says, let us hear the conclusion on the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion on the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's what God wants us to do. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. As we've already mentioned, many high-profile evolutionists claim that creation is religion and evolution is science. And they are tirelessly campaigning to have the biblical account of creation banned from all public schools and universities. A famous evolutionary scientist named Bill Nye, you might have seen his debate a couple of years ago with Ken Ham of Creation Science, but he promotes censorship of the biblical belief in creation. Nye, who hosted a popular TV show in America called Bill Nye, the Science Guy, once stated that creationism is dangerous to science and that it should not be taught to children. He claims that teaching creation is causing harm to America's scientific viability. Nye doesn't want creationism or even intelligent design principles to be taught at all. Full stop. Now, he's a pretty powerful evolutionist in the American scientific community, so the education system listens to him. He doesn't want creationism or intelligent design principles to be taught at all. He proposes that anyone with creationist beliefs should not be given the liberty to state their views in government schools. Like many evolutionary scientists, Bill Nye is hostile towards anything to do with the Bible and its account of creation. He wants it banned from all public teaching institutions. And they've taken notice of him. Richard Dawkins, you've probably all heard of him, another high-profile atheist and evolutionist, who he says that creation is religion and evolution is science. It's what he says. He claims there is no doubt now, I'm stating, quoting him, there is no doubt now, no serious scientist has any doubt that evolution is a fact. In the sense that we are cousins of chimpanzees, monkeys, and wombats and cassowaries. That's what he says. Richard Dawkins, very high profile evolutionist. He said there's no serious doubt anymore that we are cousins of chimpanzees and monkeys and wombats and cassowaries. I'll relate it to myself. One time I looked in the mirror and I thought I did see a wombat. But it was actually myself when I just got out of bed. But it doesn't prove evolution, all right? Many evolutionists are now pushing this mantra that all scientists believe in evolution. And they're pushing that same story that it's been proven fact. However, the claim is easily proven to be false. Because there are just as many scientists, they say all scientists believe this, there are just as many scientists who disagree with evolutionists' claim. It's like the debate that's going on about global warming. They say, oh, it's proven, it's settled. All of the scientists believe in global warming and climate change. No, they don't. There's probably more that don't. There's thousands of them. But you blokes are mad believing in that. It's got nothing to do with mankind burning a few sticks of coal or whatever. It's got to do with the sun. You know, God says in his word that in the last days the sun is going to burn the skin of man. It's not going to come from you driving your petrol motor car. I'm not saying that global warming's not happening. No, something's going to happen soon. It's got to happen soon because the Bible tells us the sun will burn the skin of men. And will they repent? They did not repent. So there is a time. But it's coming. That time is coming during the tribulation. Yeah, evolutionary science is not real. It's not real science. It is an interpretation of the facts of science through the eyes of willful skepticism. It is based upon nothing more solid than evolutionary presuppositions. They suppose this and they suppose that. It is a philosophical philosophy, even a religious idea, void of scientific support, and intended to replace biblical truth with stories. Real science supports the Bible, and this has been documented by many highly qualified Christian scientists. Are the Bible and science friends or foes? That was the question we asked at the beginning of this message. Is the Bible accurate in its statements that are made in the area of science? Does science disprove the Bible? Well, let's have a look at a couple of examples. It was the Bible which first stated that the earth is suspended in space and is hung upon nothing. In Job 26:7, we read, "He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing." That's in the Bible, thousands of years ago. Modern science knows that the earth hangs on nothing and moves freely in space. But this fact is contrary to the teaching of most ancient pagan religions. The Greeks, for example, taught that the planet Earth is upheld by their god, Atlas. He stands underneath and holds it up. In Isaiah 40:22, don't worry about turning to these, just listen. Isaiah 40:22, the Bible teaches that the Earth is a circle. In the past, recent past, and even today, people still believe in the flat Earth. And many believe that the Earth was flat. People still believe that today. Scripture proved to be scientifically accurate in this matter, that the earth is round. Job 38:6 tells us that there are springs of water in the ocean floor. Modern science has only recently discovered that there are truly thousands of these underwater springs in the ocean floor. Job 38:24 claims that the light creates wind. Light creates wind. It is only in recent times that modern weather science has discovered that wind is created as the sun heats up the surface of the earth, causing hot air to rise and cooler air to descend. Both Job 38:25-30 and Ecclesiastes 1:7 describe the hydrological cycle of evaporation, atmospheric circulation, condensation, precipitation and runoff. The process of evaporation and condensation was not discovered by scientists until the 17th century and was not fully understood by modern scientists until the 20th century. The Bible described it in Job thousands of years ago. In Leviticus 17:11, the Bible claims that the life of the living creatures is in their blood. This was not understood until very recent times. Modern science has had to agree with the Bible. Modern science has had to agree with the Bible. The Bible didn't disprove that, it proved it. In conclusion, we can answer the question of whether the Bible and science are friends or foes. We can conclude that the Bible is accurate in all of its statements that are related to science. Rather than science disproving the Bible, it confirms the Bible. Amen? Amen? The area where evolutionary science is at odds with creation science is in the subject of its unprovable claim that life appeared spontaneously out of nothing, out of nowhere, and that everything we see around us has evolved over billions of years. That's where the argument is. That type of unprovable so-called science is really a position of religious faith. But unlike biblical faith that comes by the hearing of the Word of God, evolutionary faith is based upon the fanciful imaginations of man's deceitful and desperately wicked heart. Amen? However, we creationists who believe what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:3 refute what the God-mocking evolutionists aggressively claim, and we stand resolutely upon our own claim that, this is what we believe, through faith we understand, not just know, not just believe, we understand how that came about. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen? Let's close in prayer and thank the Lord for His Word that we can trust. Thank You, Lord, for this instruction from Your Word, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that we should have no fear of the scientists, Lord, who mock us and castigate us because we believe what Your Word says, Lord. When actually by a bit of study and investigation, Lord, we can see that the Bible agrees with what the scientists are saying, only just doesn't agree with the evolutionary science. So we thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Thank you for the people being here this morning to be able to listen, Lord, and get confidence, Lord, that the science, evolutionary science is bunkum, Lord. It's got nothing to do with fact, nothing to do with truth. But your word is truth, and you've given it to us to understand these things. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.